I'll be in 1 Samuel, the Old Testament. I don't really preach out the Old Testament much. It's kind of hard for me to understand, but with a good study and the Lord's help, you can understand it. Today I'll be preaching on God's will, not mine, but God's will. And I'll be in chapter 13 of 1 Samuel, beginning with verse 1. And beginning with verse 1, it says, Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, whereof 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in Mount Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin. And the rest of the people he sent every man to his tent. And Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines, and that was in Geba. And the Philistines heard of it, and Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, Let the Hebrews hear. And all Israel heard say that Saul had smitten the garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel also had an abomination with the Philistines. And the people were called together after Saul to Gilgal. And verse 5 says, And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen. And the people as the sand which is on the seashore in the multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash and eastward from Bethaven. And verse 6 says, When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and thickets, and in rocks and high places and in pits. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. And as for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people following him trembling. And verse 8 says, He tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, Bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings, and offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, and he might salute him. That's pretty funny to me. He saluted him. He would greet him as if he just didn't disobey his Lord's commandment. And verse 11 says, And Samuel said, What hast thou done? And Saul said, Because I saw the people were scattered from me, that thou camest not within the days appointed that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. And therefore said I, The Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself therefore offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, Thou hast done foolishly, and thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. That's a lot. Bear with me as my voice decided to mess up the last few seconds. That's a lot of scripture taken, but I'm going to explain it all, verses 1 through 14. And what I'd like to say is, I'm talking about God's will, not mine. Let God's will be done, not mine. And God's will is the design or desire for God's creation, for all of God's creation. And my first point is God's glory, not mine. As I read this scripture, it kind of made me laugh because Saul's just a mess. and sometimes I'm a mess too, and I can sometimes relate to Saul. But as I preached on the radio today, there was another man named Saul. There's two Sauls in the Bible that I know of. Apostle Saul, Saul that became Apostle Paul, and then there's King Saul. And I think the name Paul means small, so Saul had became small, the apostle. Yeah. Where, but I believe this Saul didn't ever come be small.
Right.
He was too big. He was too proud.
Amen.
And as I said, God's glory, not mine. And Jonathan here is the son of Saul. And what a big blessing they missed out on.
Right.
When Saul tore that all the pieces and didn't keep the Lord's commandment.
Yeah.
That's right.
And second verse says, Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, whereof 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in the Mount Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan and Gibeah of Benjamin. And the rest of the people he sent every man to his tent. And Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Gibeah. And the Philistines heard of it, and Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, "Let the Hebrews hear." All of Israel heard say that Saul has smitten a garrison of the Philistines.
Yep.
I don't know if anybody catched that, but what I read was with Jonathan had smoked the garrison of the Philistines. And
yep.
Saul here, get mixed up now. Saul, the king Saul, blew the trumpet, letting everybody know, Hebrews know that, and all of Israel heard say that Saul had smitten the garrison. And I think Saul here is being very proud and wanting the glory.
Yeah,
He's wanting the glory for the battle. And what I'm talking about here is God's glory, not mine. Jonathan, who I believe was a man after God's heart. Jonathan was a good man. And Saul wasn't being a good man here. Saul wasn't after God's heart. It was after his own heart. And as we look through verses 3 and 4, I believe a man who is after God's heart can do more with 1,000 people than a man who is after their own heart with 2,000 people.
Yeah, that's right.
As you can see, like I said, Saul was trying to get the glory out of it. I figured that Jonathan would probably be like, "Thank you, God, for helping me get this victory. What a blessing you blessed me with." But then Saul turns around and just gives himself the glory.
Right.
As in, Saul's giving Saul the glory. And my second point is God's way, not mine. So we have God's glory, not mine. God's way, not mine. And they begin to trust themselves, the Israelites here in verse 6. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, and the people did hide themselves in caves and thickets and the rocks and high places and pits. And later on they scattered.
Yeah.
Instead of trusting in the Lord to help them with this battle, they hid. Went and hide. And it doesn't say in scripture, but they didn't say anything about praying to the Lord to help me.
Right.
Help me, help my king here get back on track.
Right.
So I think the leader you have, like the king, will affect the people.
Sure.
Yes.
And such as it did in Israel, in the Israelites. And it says in verse 8, he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, "Bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings." And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of it, fearing offering of the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. So, example here would be, this is Saul wanted it Saul's way.
Right.
And this is also Saul wanting it Saul's time. Another point is God's time, not mine.
Right.
He wasn't waiting on God's time.
That's right.
He was waiting on his time. And Saul didn't wait for Samuel. This is just like, as an example, if you had a cookie jar at home, and mom said, "Now, I'm going to be back from the grocery store. Don't you go get those cookies right there." And you sitting there eating cookies. And you're walking up to Sammy here, or Mama in this example, and you're like, you got cookie crumbs all over your mouth and your hands. You're like, "Hey, Mama. Hey, Samuel." That was just funny to me. I couldn't help myself but laugh here because Saul was just a mess to me. And Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. And therefore said I, the Philistines will come down upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. I have forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. And verses 13 and 14 are my favorite. It says, and Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. We all know what a fool is in God's eye.
Right.
If you're an unbeliever, you're a fool.
Right. Yeah.
You're a fool. That's what God says. I like what he said here. Thou hast done foolishly.
Yeah.
You have not listened like an unbeliever. That's what you sound like an unbeliever. You act like an unbeliever.
Right.
And thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel, but now the kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. And what a big opportunity that Saul and the rest of his family missed out on. And Samuel gives an invitation here to Saul. Samuel gives the time for Saul to repent here. See, when God gives us the consequence, he also gives us time to repent. And, of course, Saul didn't choose the time to repent, and he took the consequence. And it's just like when we go after our own heart, and we want our way, our will, our glory. We want glory to us, and we want it on our time and not his.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're just in a big mess like Saul is, and then we're given this consequence. And if you're lost here, and you're going after your own heart and your own will, your consequence is hell, like everybody else was. I'm glad I'm saved today. I'm glad I don't have to face my consequences. I'm glad Jesus paid the price for me. And what I have to say is, for Saul was king of Israel, right? And that's what Saul was thinking the whole time. I'm king of Israel.
Yeah.
That's what Saul thought. But Jonathan and David's eyes, who was king of Israel? God.
Yeah.
Jesus. Eventually found out. And what I like to say is going after your own heart and fulfilling your flesh and not your spirit and walking in the flesh just can mess you up.
Yeah.
It can give you bring bad consequences. And I'm glad today that I'm going after God's will, not mine.
Yeah.
And I'd like to ask you today to go after God's will and to not go after your own heart, but go after God's heart.
Amen.
Stay right there. Stay right there. Open your eyes now. Oops, sorry, invitation. I just want to say, if you're lost here today, God wants your heart. He wants you to go after God's heart, not yours. And eventually, you'll find out that God's heart is what you want. It's not your heart that you want. It's God's heart that you want. You want to give glory to God. You want God's way to be done. You want God's time, not ours. I'm just so thankful for going after God's heart today. I pray you would too.